what we are talking about tonight. Who remembers what we talked about last week? What'd you say? If you have a good answer. So probably for you, not.
We talked about God.
We talked about God. Not a good answer, so no candy. We did talk about God. We did talk about God. That's true.
Oh.
The Handbook for Life. And what is the Handbook for Life?
Bible.
Bible. Yeah, that's one of the
And
what is the purpose? Was that up there?
No.
Okay. What is the purpose of the Bible? We talked about a couple of purposes. What is one? Bobby?
To help you with the problems in your life. Somewhat. You said that.
You did talk about that, but you got to be more specific than that about what we actually talked about. You know what? Someone that wasn't here got the right answer. To learn about God.
Directions of God.
And? To learn about God and?
Directions.
And what God wants.
To get to know our life.
For our life. Yes, that's correct. Then we talked about the second thing. What else is the purpose of the Bible?
To learn.
Yes.
So that means
to learn about?
Jesus. And Jesus.
Okay, Jesus, that is correct. Not about Jesus, that's how he works most of the time. Jesus and?
And the Holy Spirit.
No. About Jesus and what? What about Jesus?
How he died for us and stuff.
Okay. And how we can be?
Just like him.
Just like
saved.
Him.
Saved, yes. And?
We can wear his Jesus suit.
When we are saved, that's what we talked about this morning. When we are saved, we can have
everlasting life.
Life.
That's true.
That is true. And the third thing we talked about was
to direct and guide us.
To direct and guide us. Do you have the cheat sheet over there?
No. And I even
to direct and guide us. We talked about the fact that our life is like a
box of chocolates.
It's like a hiking trip, right?
It's a
path. And it's dark. Dark. And the only way that we can see our way for where we need to go is the lantern, is the light, which is God's Word. Good job. Let's pray and we'll get into what we are talking about. God, you know I'm so excited about talking about this tonight, talking about this passage that is just blows me away every time that I look at it. That your word is really sufficient for everything that I need for life. And may we really look at that. May we really trust you when you say that it is. And may we walk away tonight just desiring to spend time in your word. Spend time getting to know what you have for our lives. And looking for the answers to our life there. I pray this all in your name.
This is the deal. This is what we're talking about. We talked about last week the purpose of the Bible. Why the Bible was written. Why we even have it. And we talked about the idea that what if God never even gave us the Bible? What if he didn't think it was best for us to have the Bible and we just never had this book? How much could we really know about God? But the great thing is we don't even have to really think about that because we do have this book that tells us everything we need to know about God and what he wants for us, and everything we need to know about Jesus, and salvation. It's all there. But, you know, you can look at that and you can go, that's great, it tells us everything about God, but the book was written, you know, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. It's so far back there. Does it have anything to do with Miss Pankratz, for instance? Does that have anything to do with that?
No.
Because this is my life. I have this teacher. Does this book that was written forever long ago when they didn't even have, like, high school, does it even relate to my life now? Does it even say anything, speak anything to my life now? And we're going to talk about that tonight. Flip over in your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Pull it out. You're going to have to look it up. It's not up here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Somebody give me a page number once they have it. Yeah, the hymn's not going to work. Hymnal's not going to work for that.
It's
1,192. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1,192. Flip over to that. Everybody there? You guys set? Starting in verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says this. It says that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I'm going to read that one more time. It says this, starting in verse 15, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If you look at verse 16, the thing I want to point out, first of all, is that he says this. He says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. That word is actually exactly what profitable means. Usually when we talk about profitable, what are we talking about? If something's profitable, it is... it can make you money. It's lucrative. I can get money out of this situation. And that's actually what the Greek word meant too. It was talking most of the time about money, about wealth, about riches, and whether something was profitable could get you riches or not. And he's saying that God's word, God's inspired word, is profitable for us. There's riches to be gained. It's lucrative. It's a worthwhile book. And the word actually can be translated as useful. It is a useful book for us. Well, how is it useful? Well, we're going to look at that. Starting in verse 15, it says this. It says that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We're on to that. That slide there. And he says, you have known the sacred writings, which he's talking about the Bible. He's talking about God's word. And he's saying to Timothy here, he's saying, since you were a kid, you have known the sacred writings, you have known the Bible, which has been able to give you wisdom. Wisdom just means knowledge, but it means practical knowledge. It means not just something to be known, but information that can be used. For instance, if you when you're in school and you go to your history class and you learn about Abraham Lincoln, and that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. Okay, did everybody learn that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated? I sure hope so. Should be common. You just learned that last week. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. Okay, you learned that, and it's good knowledge to have, and you've got it. Okay, but that's not the kind of knowledge he's talking about. He's talking about the kind of knowledge that you would get going to like auto shop. Do you guys have auto shop at your school where you work on cars and stuff like that? Do you have like home economics? Okay, home economics. Let's do that. Home economics. You go in there and you learn how to cook, right? You're getting knowledge, you're getting information, you know how to cook and sew and all that stuff. You're getting information that is practical, that can be used, that can immediately translate into something that is real in your life. You learn how to sew, and then you can walk away and you can sew. You learn how to boil an egg, and you can walk away and you can boil an egg. It's practical knowledge. And he says, the sacred writings can give you practical, useful knowledge. And the first thing he says is this: the first thing we get from the Bible is that this knowledge leads us to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The first thing is this: we can have salvation, we can be saved by trusting Jesus with our lives because of the information we get from God's word. It's practical, it's useful, there's an effect that happens in our lives. We read who Jesus was and what he did for us and our need for him. And our response is to trust him, and we are saved. There's an effect that happens in our lives. It's real. It's a reality. He says that's the first thing. The Bible gives us the information we need to be saved. That's the first point there. But you know what? Lots of people, many people, all Christians, believe that. They believe that the Bible is the source for what they need to know about Jesus and the source of the information that will change their lives, that did change their lives and save them, which is great. But a lot of times we look at it and we go, well, that's the end of the practical usefulness of the Bible. That's the end of what I can really learn that will change my life from the Bible. And maybe people wouldn't say that with their mouths, because that would be kind of like not a good politically correct thing to say if you're a Christian. But they show it with their lives. They look at, their lives don't reflect the usefulness of God's word, because they don't go to it for the other effects that the Bible has. But God actually says this. He says it is far more useful than just that. That is an amazing use for the Bible. I think you guys would all agree, salvation in Christ, man, that is huge. That is amazing. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 16, he says, all scripture is inspired by God. I'm going to stop right there. The word inspired, I actually don't like, usually the New American Standard Version, which is what you're looking at there, and it's what I use all the time. I love that translation because it's really accurate. It is wrong. It is not good with this word. Because the word inspired, I don't know about you, but when I think of the word inspired, I think of like, oh, I'm an artist, and I'm looking at a mountain, and I am inspired to paint a picture. That mountain inspires me. But that picture is not always an exact representation of that mountain, and usually actually isn't. It's not made to be that. It's art. It's supposed to be a little bit different. But the word actually literally means air or breath. The word, the idea here is that all scripture, the Bible that you have in front of you, is God-breathed. That's what the word is. God-breathed, which means this, that God took in a breath and he spoke out words, and the words actually physically came out of his mouth and fell onto the paper. That every word that you have in front of you in that Bible is the spoken word of God, the breathed out word of God. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's not Paul's words. It's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John's words. It's not any of those guys' words. It's not Peter's words. It is God's word, breathed out and fell onto paper. I love it. And so a lot of times in like doctrinal statements and stuff, people, the churches will use the word infallible, which means the word as we have it now is perfect. It is perfectly God's word. We never need to go to the word and be reading something and read a verse and go, I need to think about whether that's true or not. It's true. It's God's word. God spoke that sentence that you just read in that verse. It's God breathed. I love it. And he says, and it is profitable for, we talked about what profitable means, it's useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We're going to talk about a lawnmower. I know it sounds weird to be talking about a lawnmower right now, but we're going to talk about a lawnmower. And I actually looked up and found a manual for a lawnmower. It was a John Deere lawnmower. And the reason why I looked this up is that a manual tells us some things about a lawnmower, right? Like a lawnmower manual that you get with that John Deere lawnmower, it tells you some things about a lawnmower, right? Imagine if you had never, ever, ever mowed a lawn with a lawnmower. You had never, ever, ever, how many of you guys have ever mowed a lawn with a lawnmower? Yeah, at least some of you guys have. Imagine that you never, ever, ever seen someone mow a lawn with a lawnmower. That you bought this lawnmower and really you didn't know how it worked. You knew it was supposed to cut grass, but you didn't really know how it was supposed to work. That manual would be useful, profitable, for you to open up. Especially if you didn't have someone to teach you how to run the lawnmower. If the only place that you know how to use a lawnmower was that manual, you'd go to that. You'd open that up. And this is what you'd find in a John Deere lawnmower. This is one thing that you'd find. Wear appropriate clothing. This was one of the first few pages in the manual. And it says this. It says, always wear eye protection when operating the machine. Which is weird. Does anybody wear, like, goggles when you're mowing the lawn? But you know what? Hey, could it keep you from stabbing your eye out with something great? Then they're going to sue you for it. Yeah, they want to cover you for it. That's right. That's right. And they say wear close-fitting clothing and safety equipment appropriate for the job. So you always have to have, like, skin-tight pants and, you know, make sure you don't have anything loose. And this next one's actually pretty good. It says, while mowing, always wear substantial footwear and long trousers. Trousers? How about pants? But anyway, do not operate the equipment when barefoot or wearing open sandals. Is that a pretty good suggestion? Not to mow the lawn without, yeah. That's pretty good. Sandals, not a good thing. Definitely not barefoot. Do you ever see someone barefoot out there mowing the lawn? Not a good thing. So good suggestions, some of them. It goes on, and it says, down to the second to last one there, it says, never make adjustments or repairs to the engine while running. Okay, that's smart. Wait for all movement to stop before adjusting, cleaning, or repairing. Disconnect the spark plug wire and ground against the engine to prevent accidental starting. Is it a good idea before you start tinkering with the engine to make sure it's off?
No.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And then it goes on and says this, even more. It gets worse from here, it really does. It says, keep hands, feet, clothing, jewelry, and long hair, imagine what that's going to do, away from any moving parts to prevent them from getting caught. Can you picture what that would be like with long hair and you get it? Oh, I don't even want to think about it. But those are all good things to think about, okay? Good things to think about. And then it goes on. Another page, it goes on to operating safety, and I highlighted a couple things here. It says this cutting machine is capable of amputating hands and feet and throwing objects. Failure to observe the following safety instructions could result in serious injury or death. Could a lawnmower take off your hand? It could take off your hand, and it's good to listen to the manual when it says that you don't want to take off your hand. It says, the next one down says, do not put hands or feet near or under the machine. Keep clear of the discharge at all times. Is it a good idea not to put your hand under the machine, especially while it's running? Like you put it in there and, you know, you're going to lose your hand when it goes in there. Makes sense, logical stuff. But most of the stuff you're going, duh, of course, I would never put my hand underneath the lawnmower. But you know what? 60,000 people every year have to go to the hospital for injuries they've gotten from a lawnmower. Can you believe that? 60,000. That means there's like probably another 60,000 that got hurt but didn't get hurt that bad. But this is the 60,000 that had to go to the hospital. 60,000 people. That probably should have read these points in the manual and, like, followed them. It gets even worse than that. Flip on to the next slide. It says this. Protect children. Tragic accidents can occur if the operator is not alert to the presence of children. Children are often attracted to the lawn mowing machines and mowing activity. Stay alert in the presence of children. Never assume that children will remain where you last saw them. Do you see the picture? Click onto the next slide. I blew up the picture. That is the picture. Do you see the little kid underneath the lawnmower? Isn't that horrible? I'm like, why would you put that picture in there? They're like, beware, don't run over your kid with the lawnmower. I mean, duh, right? Logical. You wouldn't do that. But, how many people go to the hospital every year for lawnmower-related accidents? 60,000. 60,000 people. And you know what? The point of this is this, that a manual tells you some things. It tells you what to do. See, it told us some things to do. And it tells us what not to do. Like, don't run over your child with your lawnmower. Makes sense. And you know what? In the same way, the manual for our lives, the handbook for our lives, remember we talked about the word handbook being manual, is what it really means, for our life, the Bible, is useful for teaching. That's the first thing he says in verse 16. He says it's useful, profitable for teaching, which is this. It tells me, the Bible tells me what is right for my life. The Bible teaches me what to do with this life that I've been given. Shows me what to do with it. And it also, in the same way, the manual for our lives is useful for reproof. That's the second word he uses, which means this. It tells us what not to do with our lives. It tells us what to stay away from in our lives. That thing, those things are just going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us to mow over that child. And in the same way, the Bible does that same exact thing. It's trying to steer us away from things that we might look at and go, oh, that looks fun. And you know what? Just like... What? Not this. But actually, we are talking a little bit about this because it said right there, children are attracted to lawnmowers. Children are attracted to lawnmowers. I can attest to that. My kids stay way away from lawnmowers because that's fun, and Clark would like nothing more than to push that lawnmower around, and that is not good. And it's protecting us. It's trying to protect us. And the Bible, in the same way, says, don't do that with your life. Don't do that with your life. Not because God is going, you know what? I really want your life to stink, and that is really fun. So you know what? Don't do that. God is saying this through his word. He's saying, don't do that because it's going to hurt you. It's not what's good for your life. But do these things because that is what's good for your life. The Bible shows us everything that we should be doing with our lives and everything that we shouldn't be doing with our lives. That's the first two things. Then it goes on, and a manual also does this. It has a troubleshooting guide in it. And the troubleshooting guide is good because if you're having trouble with your lawnmower and you want to fix it, like for instance, if the engine will not start, then possible you need to check to see if the fuel tank is empty. Duh. Okay, it's not starting. Oh, maybe I'm out of fuel. Maybe I'm out of gasoline. Maybe I should fill that up. Or maybe it needs, there's a disconnected or dirty spark plug because if you know anything about engines, that disconnected spark plug, well, it's not going to start if it's not connected. So it gives you a troubleshooting guide and says, if this is happening with your lawnmower, then these are the steps you should take to fix that, to remedy that, so that your lawnmower works well. And in the same way, the manual for our lives, the Bible, the handbook for our lives, is useful for correction. That's the third thing he says. Which is this, when something goes wrong in our lives, when we go down a path that is hurtful to us, the Bible will correct us. The Bible has a way of bringing us back on the correct path. It fixes what's wrong with our life. If this is happening, do this. Those of you guys who have been a part of Sunday school, you guys know we've been going through Galatians. And one of the things we've been looking at is that we cannot live our lives by, well, we can, but it's not good for us. And our lives were never intended to be lives that were lived by rules, even good rules. Because that is not how to live life pleasing to God. It sounds like it is. Remember, we've talked about this a lot. I won't go too far into this. But it sounds like it is. It sounds like I should just follow all these rules that God lays out for me. But he says those rules are not profitable for you. If you try to pursue those, if you try in your own effort to accomplish the rules that God sets out for you, you are going to fail. So it would be like this chart. If you are failing in your ability, in your life trying to please God, then check this. And maybe one thing it would say is, check to see whether you really have trusted Jesus with your life. Because if you're a person that has not trusted Jesus with your life, you've rejected God, you will find that you are failing at trying to please God. You will never be able to please God. That might be one remedy. The other thing is this. Well, maybe you're not trusting him to live life, which is what we've been looking at in Galatians. If you really trust God to live life through you, you will accomplish the law. You will accomplish those rules. It has troubleshooting guides. It has correction. It corrects wrong thinking that we have. And a lot of times it's easy to get that wrong thinking because we're surrounded by wrong thinking. We're surrounded by problems. We're surrounded by that left column on the troubleshooting chart. And the Bible is the one who has the remedy for it, the answers, the way to bring us back from that wrong thinking. It's great. It's good for correction. And then the last thing that Emmanuel does is gives you some basics. Oops, I flipped around. Now I've got lost in my papers. I've got too many papers tonight. Here we go. It tells you this. It tells you how to use your lawnmower the most effective way. For instance, it has this page in there, starting and stopping the engine. Keep in mind, you've never seen a lawnmower before. You've never used a lawnmower before. You wouldn't even know how to start it. And if you don't believe me, how many of you guys know what priming is? Okay, a lot of you guys do. Some of you guys, the same ones of you guys that have used a lawnmower before. Well, some of you might think, how you start an engine, a lawnmower is you just pull on that, yank that big cord. But that's not how you start it, right? Right, guys that raised your hand? How do you start it? You have to push the little button. And this one says push it 3 times with a cold engine. With a cold engine, you push it 3 times. That gets gasoline into the carburetor, and then you go, and it will start. If you don't prime it, you're going to go, and keep pulling on it, and it's not going to do anything because you got to prime that engine. So it tells you the basics of what you need to do. And just the fact that it tells you that you need to start the engine. I mean, this sounds really dumb, but imagine you don't know anything about the engine and maybe you're really blonde. And you go, I think the way this lawnmower works is I just push it. I don't have to start it or anything, and it's gonna mow the lawn. I'm just gonna push it around. Is that gonna get anything done as far as cutting the grass? That is the way old lawnmowers work. So if you're like 80, maybe someone would do that. Oh, look at this fancy new mower I got, and they try to push it around and it doesn't do anything. You gotta start it. It's basic. Well, that's true. It's basic. Basic stuff. And it goes on, and this is an important thing too that some people might not know. It says that there is this emergency stopping device, this little bar that comes up. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Because you guys have all mowed the lawn. If you don't hold on to that, then it will stop the engine. If you didn't know that, maybe you would pull that together and you'd start your engine because you read how to start the engine, and you'd go along and you'd go, oh, okay. And you pull it again, you start it, and then you go and you let it go, and it would keep stopping. Is that an effective way to mow your lawn? It would take you a long time to mow the lawn that way. The reason why the manuals are really basic, especially this one is like really basic, is because it's trying to give you the foundation of how to run this lawnmower well. And in the same way, you guys are following this now, in the same way, God has given us the information that we need to use our lives well, to be put to our intended purpose. Is a lawnmower to be used, guys, for us to shave?
Yes.
No, that would be some major problems. You would have some major, like, torn up face if you tried to do that. Is a lawnmower made to vacuum the carpet? No, it's not. It's not made for that. It is made for mowing the lawn. And you know what? Someone who had never seen a lawnmower before, Someone who went, you know what? Oh, that's a really cool device. I'm going to buy that at a yard sale. And it didn't come with a manual. Oh, cool. I'm going to try, you know, they might try tons of stuff with it. They don't know what it does. But they don't know it's a lawnmower. They don't know, even know what it's called. They could use it in so many other weird ways. But of course you wouldn't do that. Because a lawnmower put to its intended use is going to mow the lawn. In the same way, the Bible tells us how to put our lives to their intended use. We were created for a purpose. Every single one of us were created for a purpose. Now, lots of us will never, ever even seek out that purpose, because it's not worth my time to seek out that purpose. But God's word tells us what we need to live our lives for our intended purpose. That's what training in righteousness is. Righteousness just means living the way we were intended to live when we were created. It's to train us for our purpose in life. That is what the Bible does. Those four awesome, amazing things. And the bottom line is this. The bottom line is in how we respond to that. The Bible does do those four things. There's no question about it. Remember, this is God's breathed out word. God spoke these words and they fell onto paper. And God said his words are useful for these four things. They are. That's the reality. That's the truth. The question is, how are we going to respond to it? See, those 60,000 people that get hurt, they may read the manual, and their response is, oh, you know what? The manual says not to put my hand underneath it while it's running. Well, that's not important. There's a lot of grass down here, and I need to get it unclogged, and oh, and they have to go to the hospital. They may read the manual and go, that's not important. Oh, I have to wear shoes? That might be one that they'll just go, no, it's fine. I'll go around barefoot. And then a rock spits out of the bottom and slams into their foot, and they've got a huge boulder in their foot, you know? And they got to go to the hospital. They can respond to that manual that way, and a lot of times, and we can respond to it that same way. We can respond to our manual for our life the same way and look at it and go, oh, you know what? God says that's what's best for my life. Yeah, nah. I think I know better. It's better to go around barefoot when I'm trying to mow the lawn. And you know what? People are having trouble with their lawnmowers. They can't get them to work. They can't get it to start because they don't prime it. And they go, oh, man, I'm just going to keep trying. Man, there must really be something wrong with this thing. Or they read the manual and they go, oh, yeah, there's this primer button. Oh, there's not. There's no need for that. Why would they do that? They wouldn't do that. But the same thing happens for us. Something's going wrong in our lives. Something is not going the right way. And you know what? We read God's word and we go, nah. That's not the solution to my problem. It's not. That's how we can respond. Or my problem with most manuals in general is I just don't read them. I never read manuals. Seriously, I'm like, this is boring. Because you have to read through all the mind-numbing stuff to get to anything that's good. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to read the manual. I'll just figure it out. And you know what? We can have the same response with the manual for our life. We can go, you know, I can just figure it out. I've been around. I can just figure it out. Or we can respond by going, God, you know what? Your word holds everything that I need for my life. It holds the answers to every question that I have in my life. It holds the answers for what I'm to do, for what I'm not to do. It holds the answers for how to troubleshoot my life, how to correct my life. And it gives me the basics of how to live the life I was intended to live. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust your word with that. And when we do that, then verse 17 happens. It says this. It says, so that, the Bible is intended for all those four purposes, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The result of that, the result of trusting God and His Word for our lives, as the authority for our lives, is that we will be adequate, complete, completely available, completely equipped, which means we have all the tools we would possibly need to live life the way it was intended to live, to live a life that is pleasing to God in every way. So the question is, do you want a life that is pleasing to God? I really believe that most of you guys do want a life that's pleasing to God. Do you want to live life to its fullest potential? The way you were originally intended and created to operate in your life. Do you want to live up to that potential? The handbook, the manual for our lives has it all. Has everything that we need. And so saying this, oh, you know what? It's impossible for me to please God with my life, so I'm just going to forget it. This directly contradicts that. His word can make us adequate for pleasing Him. It can. The only limit to your life's potential, your original life potential, is the limit that you put on trusting God's word. That's the only limit. It's all there. The question is, are we going to use it? We would normally, if we needed the information, we would normally go to that lawnmower manual, and we would trust that what it says, that, you know, 3 pumps on that primer, that's what I should do. We would usually trust it because the person who made that lawnmower wrote that manual. I can trust. John Deere made that lawnmower. Of course, their manual is going to tell me how to use it. And in the same way, we have the manual for our lives written by the guy who created our lives. The guy who created how our lives were supposed to operate, he gave us an operating manual for it. Are we going to use it? Because it's all there. And we'll talk next week about how to find what's all there. But again, at the bottom of your handout, guys, I have this written. It's the same thing I wrote last week. I'm just going to read through it. It says this. It says, God has given us a handbook, a manual for our lives. Only when we are reading God's word and trusting in what He says can we live life to the fullest. The life God intended for us when we were created. A life with purpose and meaning. A life of walking in the light and not in the darkness. And I just have those two questions, same questions I asked last week. Where are you looking for the answers to your life? And are you using the handbook for your life? Are you using it? Let's pray and we'll go to our groups. God, I just thank You again for this manual for our lives, that You decided to speak out and have Your words fall on paper for us to read, that we can go to it for all the answers that we need for our life. It's the complete manual, nothing missing for our lives. May our response to that be, God, I'm going to look in it. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to walk away from this going, yeah, I know that's what it says, God, but I think I know how to live life better than what You say. May we be a group of people that continually go to the manual for our lives. For answers. Pray this all in Your name.